Get your Bible and turn to Luke 14. Continue to pray for those that are sick today, Sister Hazel and others. And, you know, I don't believe anything the Chinese say. If they say there's 250 people got it, that means there's 200,000 of them got it. There's a billion people live there. And you wouldn't build hospitals for 250 people. So let's just keep prayed up and stayed up and drawn out of God and tell, ask the Lord to put a hedge around us to keep us from those things. Amen. Luke 14, very, very familiar passage of scripture. While you turn there, I found this old saying. It's 19 something. I read it. Last time I read it, said, I can go a long way with a man who's wrong in judgment, but right in spirit. But it's difficult for me to go with one who's right in judgment and wrong in spirit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You can be right in your judgment, be wrong the way you act about it. Amen? I can go a long way with a man that don't completely understand some things, but he's right in his spirit. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Luke chapter 14, I want to talk to you today, and probably a lot of you is going to wonder, why in the world is he preaching that? Last week I preached on the new birth, what it is, how to know it, how to do it, how to get it, and what it'll do to you. And I preached on the new birth, and there was folks here that made excuses. They made excuses. So today I'm going to preach on 7 excuses that could keep you out of heaven. And we all need it, because before I got saved, I had all 7 of them, I think. And so I'd like to thank the Lord that he delivered me from my excuses. Amen. And as a Christian, sometimes I still get excuses. I thank the Lord doesn't let me live that way. Amen. But in Luke chapter 14, if you have your Bible, we'll start with verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Seemed like you'd prove them before you bought them, none. Yeah. I go to prove them. I pray that you have me excused. And another said, I married a wife. Every excuse every man had, it started in the garden with Adam. Lord, that woman you give me. I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Now he's talking about strangers. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none, you might want to underline that word, none of those men which were bidden. You see that? None of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word today. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Use men to proclaim it. Use men to preach it. But God, you do the work. Now I pray today in our hearts, you'll get our mind, you'll get our attention, get our mind off of everything but in here today. And let us search our hearts to see if we have already come to the Savior, or if we need to come to the Savior. Because he said he may not call again. He said none of these men were ever called again. None of them. None of them came to the supper. And we're talking about the great supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus comes back, Lord, and calls his children up to the great supper of the Lamb. And Lord, I want to be in that number. And I pray everybody in here wants to be in that number. But the only way we're going to get it, we're going to have to come unto Him. And we're going to have to call on Him. We're going to have to trust Him and put it all on Him and nothing else. So I pray, God, today, if there be one man, boy, or girl, woman, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, grandparents, any that has never come to the Savior, that they lay down their excuses today. And then, Lord, I pray you take it and turn it also, that if there's a Christian here today who has not done what he said, come and follow me. A lot of Christians come and be saved, but they don't really follow him. If they do, they follow afar off like Peter. So I pray today maybe some Christian will come and lay themselves on the altar and surrender to follow him. Because you're doing the bidding, they have to do the coming. And we'll thank for whatever you do in Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when I was lost and I didn't know the Lord, I didn't grow up in church and I didn't know what the gospel was, and I thought good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell, and I didn't know anything else. Nobody told me anything else. If anything, they reinforced those ideas to tell me, if you don't quit this, you don't quit that, you don't start this, you don't start that, you're going to go to hell. But none of them ever bid me to come to the Savior. Until Bully Falkenberry, and I hesitate to call him that, because if y'all didn't know him, you don't know why they called him Bully. But Pastor Falkenberry preached the gospel for the first time that I heard it plainly. I'd heard it several times in my life. I'd never heard it plainly. And that day the Holy Ghost of God said to my heart, come. Amen. Come. And you know what? He came.
Amen.
And I came. He came to me. And I came to him. And look, I was born again that day.
Amen.
And I've been saved ever since that day. And he's the one that does that, not me. And it's all why? Because I accepted his invitation to come. And this ain't my sermon, this is my introduction. He's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Don't pay no attention to the man behind him. Okay? He sees y'all bundling up, he's going to turn the thing a little bit. But I didn't go to that church that day to change anything. I knew I couldn't change anything. And I knew if anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. And I didn't even say I believed the Bible, but I knew that. So that way, listen to me. I told you, don't pay no attention to the Wizard of Oz over there. If you're going to get born again, what I preached on last week, you're going to have to come to the Savior.
Amen.
You're not going to get it sitting there making excuses. And here are some people. I want to show you seven people that made excuses. Now, everybody, here's the first excuse. You don't want to get saved because you're doing what you do because everybody is doing it. Now, that's the sorriest excuse they ever made right there. The number one reason is not everybody is doing it.
That's right.
I'd say, well, preacher, you know, I would get saved, but I drink. Because everybody drinks. Everybody didn't. I just didn't know anybody that didn't. And so these excuses about, well, everybody else is doing it. I got looking through the Bible, and I thought about people in the Bible, and whatever your excuse is, whether it's illicit, and I have to be careful what I say about LGBTQRSP and ON and all that stuff. But whatever it is that you're doing, I got news for you. That sinful behavior, everybody's not doing it.
Amen.
Now the news media might want you to think that, and Hollywood might want you to think that, and Nashville might want you to think that. Did he say Nashville country music? Look, NASCAR might want you to think that. The Super Bowl might want you to think that. Whoever's telling you this stuff, everybody's not doing it.
Right.
Noah didn't do it.
Right.
He saved his family. There's eight of them saved from everybody on planet Earth. All the billions of people on planet Earth was doing it. But there was one man that wasn't doing it. His name was Noah. And he believed God and saved him and his family. I thought about Enoch. Old Enoch didn't have a whole lot of friends, but he had a friend in Jesus, yes. And the Bible says he walked with God. Yes. And while everybody else was walking the other way, he was walking the right way toward heaven. And God liked it so much, the Bible says God took him. Yes. He never died. He just took him up into heaven. He walked off into heaven one day with the Lord. I thought about Moses. Everybody said, well, everybody else is doing this. Moses didn't do it. Moses, look, the Bible says that he chose rather to suffer affliction than to live in the house of Pharaoh and live like a king. He left the house of Pharaoh and he chose to follow what God called him to do. And while everybody else was giving in to slavery, Moses didn't give in. Then I thought about John the Baptist. Well, everybody else is wearing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever want to be embarrassed for somebody else, go to Walmart. Some of those people, I'm embarrassed for you. These little old girls, I look at them, I say, does your daddy know you left the house looking that way? Well, if I was your daddy, you wouldn't have left that way. Listen to this. John the Baptist, when everybody else was going the religion way, and he just went on and look, while everybody else was saying, look how good I am, look how religious I am, look how I please God, John the Baptist stood out there and he said, you bunch of snakes and liars and hypocrites, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God? And they were scared to death of him. They were scared of John the Baptist. I used to work at J.P. Stevens Cotton Mill down there at the industrial mill when I was in my 20s. Hadn't been saved long, and I was so excited. And my machine was 600 yards long, and I worked at the back of it and got in front of it. And the door went out to the boiler room that made all the steam for the heat and everything in the mill. And this old boy worked out there by himself, so he'd get lonely. He'd come in there and sit beside me, and I'd be reading the Bible. Well, this old guy was a drunk. He was a drunkard. There wasn't no doubt about it. Everybody knew it. He wasn't ashamed of it. And he's drinking himself to death. And he come out there. He said, I heard you got religion. I said, no. I don't light no candles. I don't chants. I ain't got no statues. I got no pictures. I don't got religion. I got Jesus. And then he'd come out there another day. He said, I heard you got baptized. I said, yeah. He said, well, good. Now you're saved. I said, I was saved before I got baptized. I got baptized to show everybody I was saved. Amen. He said, are you ashamed of me? I'll be ashamed of you. And that's the best way I can do is get baptized to show them I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Right. And then every night he had something different. And so finally I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. Well, I could smell Jim Beam on him while he was saying that. And I know what it smells. I grew up with it everywhere. And so I said, huh, you are? Why you say that? He said, well, I belong to that Methodist church up there. Me and my daddy laid the bricks in that church, and we built that church right up there in front of the mill. And I've worked as hard as anybody else to do something for God. I said, God don't care how many bricks you lay. How many times have you went to the Lord and said, I'm a sinner and I need to be born again, I need to be saved? And he jumped up and he said, who do you think you are? Ron the Baptist? I said, amen. Everybody's doing it, preacher. You just don't know what's going on. Everybody lives like me. Everybody does this. And I don't have to get saved. Even these preachers over here is doing what I do. I don't have to get born again and all this stuff, you know. And everybody does this. And I thought about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The Bible says they were friends of Jesus. And they lived for God and they lived right. People were drawn to them because of their faith in Christ. And he loved them so much he even went and raised Lazarus from the dead and called him out of the tomb. Why? Because he wasn't doing like everybody else.
Right.
And then I thought about people today who are not doing like everybody else. There's a lot of good people, good godly people. Now the devil don't like you to see those. But I want you young people to know there's still some people that love Jesus, and there's still some people that try to live for Him, and there's still some people that shun sin and run to righteousness, and still some people that want to go to church and live right and talk right and walk right and look right. God still got His children. Don't you think there's none today? Because there are. And if you'll open your eyes and quit looking at the Kardashians or some stupid football player or basketball player or hockey player or, and I hate to say it, golf player, and a race car driver, if you get looking in the right places, you'll see people that ain't doing it like everybody else is doing it. Some of you girls ought to look around here at these godly ladies. Don't you wonder why they don't dress like that crowd you follow on TV and Instagram and Facebook? And look over here, girls, I'm preaching to you. Look over here. Listen, don't you wonder why there's some godly women that don't look like that crowd, don't sound like that crowd, doesn't act like that crowd, and they mind their own business and they love their family and they do what they're supposed to do? That's the ones you need to be looking at. Some of you boys need to look at these men. It takes more of a man to live for God than it does for sin. It's easy to sin. That's our nature. We do that. That's easy. It's hard not to sin. Even for saved people. We got help now. The Lord helps us. But it's still hard to turn our back on this old filthy, rotten world and walk a different way on that narrow way while everybody's on the broad road. It's hard to do that. And it takes a man to live for God.
Amen.
It's easy to get in a fist fight. It's hard to turn away from one.
Yeah.
It's easy to get in a cuss fight. It's harder not to cuss fight and walk away from it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. This fellow stuck his big old fat finger in my face one day when I was a young preacher, and he said, "You know I could kill you." I said, "You can't threaten me with heaven."
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you kids need to wake up. I tell you what you're doing. You're looking at the wrong people, and they're in a mess, and you're going to end up one too.
That's right.
I just saw in the newspaper that I can't remember her name. Said she was leaving her husband. They got married 12 days ago. That's what you want to fall, ain't it? Amen? But everybody else is doing it, preacher. No, they're not. No, they have not been. There's always been God's people. And there always will be God's people till He comes, takes us out of here. And I just want to be the father that can say, "I'm not doing what everybody else is doing." I want to be the husband that can say, "I'm not doing what everybody else is doing." I want to be the church member that says, "I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. I'm walking a different way. I'm living a different way. And when I fall, I got somebody I can turn to that'll pick me up and get me back on the right path."
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And some people tell me, they say, "Well, preacher, you know, times have changed." They sure have.
Yes.
But you know what? Hebrews 13:8, he says, "I'm the Lord and I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." He hadn't lowered his standards of living. He has not lowered holiness. Did they say that? Holiness in a Baptist church? He hadn't lowered holiness. He has not lowered righteousness. If it was wrong 2,000 years ago, it's wrong today. If it wrong when grandma was living, it's wrong today. If it wrong when mama was living, it's wrong today. And look, times have changed, but God has not changed. Whoever thought I could turn on TV and see a 300-pound man with lipstick, earrings, and eye makeup on and claim to be a woman, and that I can't say nothing about it because I'll be persecuting him if it's I'll say something. Bring him in here. Bring him in. Come on, bring him in. Bring him in. Amen. I'd love him. I'd love him enough to tell him the truth. Oh, it's going to get bad now. Times have changed. You can't tell me a woman dresses like a man and shaves both sides of her head and puts a ring in her nose, one in her eyebrow. That makes her a man. It does not make her a man. She was born a woman, and she don't like that. She needs to take it up with the one that birthed her, which is God Himself. Times have changed. Amen. Times have changed. Well, you just hate people. No, I don't hate anybody. I just want you to know that God never changes.
That's right.
And God does. God hates sin.
Yes.
Amen. God, did you know that God still judges people?
Right. Yes.
And did you know when I say something wrong or we say something wrong, point out sin, we're not judging you. God did that. We're just telling you what God said. We're not against you because we used to be just like you.
Right.
And sometimes we
still life.
Amen. But we want to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Times have changed, preacher. Preachers don't holler anymore. They get them a little stool.
Yeah.
And they sit on a little stool.
Right.
And they shave. And they grow their little old curly locks. And they just shave. And it's love because we need to be offering today. And love because I got that new jet airplane I'm buying.
Yeah.
And oh, baloney. Where's the John the Baptist? Where's the Apostle Paul? Amen. Where's the Peter that stood up and preached on Pentecost? Amen. Time to change, but God doesn't change.
That's right. Come on now.
What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about excuses that people make not to come to the Savior or not to live for God.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, if I did that, I'd lose every friend I had. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. When we surrendered to Him, son, they left us like we had the, what's that new kind of flu they're talking about now? That, what? Coronavirus probably goes with that beer they drank. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. They left us alone.
Yeah.
This thing ain't even working. Is this on? Is the battery dead? There it is. I say it's got red light for the blood of Jesus. Right there. Let me tell you something. When you get born again, you don't have to leave people.
Right.
Hey, we'll leave you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But guess what? The ones you lose, God will replace them with better.
Amen.
Amen. We used to be like the prodigal son. We had friends that loved what we had, not us.
Yeah.
Come on now. Yeah.
And we didn't have it anymore. They left us.
Yeah.
Amen. You get to buying those rounds. When you run out of money to buy the rounds, they'll walk over to somebody else to buy the rounds. Amen. I used to have a friend when I was lost. He'd jump in the car. He'd say, "You buying this time, I'm buying next time." And then he'd say, "Well, you buying the gas this time, I'll buy the gas next time." Did you know he never bought the gas? And it next time never come. Never did come. And when I got saved, he left me like the plague. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, times have changed. Here's another one. I don't believe like you do. Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, you got the right to believe anything you want to. Yeah. You're a free moral agent. We live in a free country. I would fight for your right to be wrong. I would. I'd get in a foxhole next to a Jehovah's Witness to fight the Islamic hordes, that crowd is coming to get rid of us. I'd get in a foxhole beside a Mormon, but he couldn't drink no pitcher of coffee, but I'd get in a foxhole with a Mormon to fight any of these atheist devils that want to come over here and destroy us. I would, because they have a right to be wrong. Now, I'm Baptist by conviction. I wasn't raised a Baptist. I was raised a hellion.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about, but I thought Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, they were all going by social classes and money. Mm-hmm. I thought the Catholics was the ultimate church. They had the most money. And then I thought the Presbyterians come down here and the Episcopalians and all this stuff. And then the Methodists. And then finally, way down at the bottom somewhere was Baptists and Pentecostals. That's what I thought. Until I got saved, I found out that the Church of Jesus Christ is whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives Him as their Savior. And look, you say, "Well, I don't believe like you do." Now, you may disagree with me on baptism, and you may disagree with me on church membership. You may disagree with me on tithing. You may, all kinds of things that don't mean a hill of beans. But you cannot believe on, disagree on, you must be born again.
Amen.
There's no, there's no discussing that. You're either saved or you're lost. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're on the right road or you're on the wrong road. You're a saint or you're a sinner. There's no in between this stuff and we can't argue over that.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't believe. Like, I think God's going to let everybody go to heaven. Well, you ain't never read what Jesus said. Amen. He said there's a broad way that leadeth to destruction. Amen. Then he said there's a narrow way that leadeth unto life everlasting. And he said many are called and few are chosen. It doesn't matter what you believe. You better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Acts 16:31, that jailer come running in there after that earthquake and he fell down on his knees. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
If it would have been some people, one would have said, well, you got to say the catechism. Did I pronounce that right? I've never done it. Okay. One would say you got to get sprinkled. Another one would say you got to get poured. Another one would say you got to get dunked. Another one would say, well, you got to speak in tongues. And another one would say, well, you got to use a New King James. Or another one would say you got to use King James. Another one would say, well, this kind of church you got to go to or this kind of church you got to. But listen to what Paul and Silas told that jailer, a heathen he was. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He wanted to do something, brother. He wanted to do something.
Amen.
That's religion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not salvation.
Right.
Salvation is you can't do a thing.
That's right.
There's nothing you can do. It's by grace through faith, yeah, and that not of yourselves, right, not of works.
Yeah.
And here's the rest of that verse. And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen?
Amen.
And he believed and he was saved. He took the preacher to his house. I worry about people who don't want the preacher to come to the house. He took the preacher to the house and they all got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. You'll learn the other stuff later.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't know anything about church. I walked in church a few weeks after I was saved, maybe a couple months. And the pastor said, you getting baptized tonight? It was night. I said, I don't know. Am I supposed to? He said, yeah. I said, let's do it. He said, you got to change the clothes. I said, I got some clothes on. I'd never even seen a baptism. He had to borrow clothes from his son-in-law so I'd have some clothes to get baptized in. I got baptized that night. I never questioned that because I had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to explain it. He didn't say, well, you know, the church fathers in the year 1732. And he didn't say, well, you know, the Nicene Council in the year 1473. No, sir, he just said the Bible says it. I said, amen, let's do it.
Amen.
Here's another excuse. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere.
Amen.
Now, that's probably the biggest lie the devil will tell you right there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are sincerely going to hell.
Right.
Yeah. Why? Because they believe on the wrong thing.
That's right.
Amen. Now there's some men, now I'm not against anybody, I'm for everybody, but I have to expose things as preacher and pastor. And there's some men that call themselves Masons that they think they're working their way to heaven.
That's right.
Yeah. There's some people that go to churches that think they're working their way to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They think if they got baptized, they're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Yes. You can get baptized till you wrinkle and die and go to hell.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I am sincerely convinced that in Acts chapter 10, a man named Cornelius,
yes,
he came to the apostle and he wanted to be saved, and the apostle told him that this is how you get saved, not just being a good man. The Bible says he was a devout man. That means he was a religious man. I believe Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, when he came to Jesus, he was very sincere. He was so sincere he risked his life and his reputation as a Pharisee, the leaders of Israel. He risked that by coming to Jesus to talk to him about eternal life. And Jesus cut right to this chase. He said, now, Jesus, we know thou art a man come from God, because no other man, he called him rabbi, that means teacher. We know that thou art a man come from God, because no man could do the works that you do except he be from God. I want go back and read that. Jesus didn't discuss what he said. He said, let me tell you something. Truly, truly, ye must be born again.
Amen.
Now, he just cut to the chase. I was telling Ken went visiting with me yesterday, and he was telling me how some friends was questioning him on things. I said, here's what I do. I'll try to take somebody and show them how to be saved. And while I'm taking them, I'm going to show them, hey, they're a sinner. They need to be saved. They need to admit that. While I'm saying that, usually somewhere in between, they'll say, yeah, but, you know, I heard this, and what do you think about this biblical question or this, you know, or this one doing that? And I'll say, well, you know, that's a good question. Let's hold that till we get through with this, and I'll answer your question. And then you get talking to them, you know, and you say, you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to put it all on him, or you're going to die and go to hell. And while I'm telling that, they'll say, well, you know, a Mormon told me, and what do you think about this? I said, well, you know, that's a good question. Why don't we hold that one, too, until we get to the end of what I'm talking about? And then I'll go to C, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to confess it with your mouth. And while I'm talking about that, they'll say, well, you know, somebody told me about a way of baptism. And I say, you know, that's a good question. Why don't we just hold on to that for a minute till we get to the end of this, and then we'll talk about this. And then I'll take them back to it, and I'll say, well, you know, have you ever admitted you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. I said, well, the Bible says so. Well, you admit it or not, but you need to admit it. You're halfway there, you know. And then I'll say, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, rose from the dead the third day after being crucified for your sins? And do you believe that? Oh, yeah, I believe that. I said, do you believe it enough to put everything on him and call on him and ask you and turn from your sins? And then they usually will. And when they get through, did you know I've never had one to come back and bring up those questions again?
Amen.
Now, you can be sincere at a lot of stuff and still not be saved. Ye must be born again. Nicodemus was sincere. Cornelius was sincere. Did you know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth? There is no other truth outside of him. The life. There's no eternal life without him. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now, you might be real sincere, and you might pray to Mary, and you might light candles, and you might be a Mormon that's gotten baptized for all your kin folks to get them out of one heaven into another. You may know the catechism and all this stuff, and you may have been learned to recite when you was a little kid. But the question is, have you been born again? Stop the excuses. Admit God is right and you are wrong, and come to him and tell him, and then he'll save you. You'll be born again. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. You know, a lot of people are ignorant on purpose. You think if you claim ignorance, God won't hold you accountable. That's the truth. A lot of people think that. Well, if I just don't, I'm not going to read the Bible, because if I don't know, he's not going to judge me for it. You're highly mistaken on that one. But if you'll just read Romans chapter 1, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And he says, I think it's verse 20, he says, because of that, you're without excuse.
Yes.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Yes.
You know, I can't look at a tree without thinking about God.
Yeah.
I don't worship the tree, I worship the God that made the tree. But God made a wonderful thing when he made that tree.
Yes.
You ever thought about, now I got bad eyes. You ever thought about your eyeball? You ought to study your eyeball. It ain't nothing but a sack of water. That's all it is, a sack of water with some blood veins and some nerves running through it. And it can take your picture and show it in my brain upside down, turn it right side up, turn it into color. I really don't know what color you are if my eyeball didn't tell me. And it can do all that. And my eyeball can tell you how far you are away from me or how close. And you get thinking about your eyeball, and you think about these people that said we came from a big boom in heaven. They got greater faith than I do. I don't see how in the world an explosion could make my eyeball.
Amen.
Amen? That's impossible. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God raised up dirt, red dirt. That's what Adam means, red dirt. You want to know what color first man was? It's red. Red dirt. He took red dirt and he made a man out of it. And the Bible says he breathed into him and gave him life. And then he laid that man down one day and said, you look kind of lonely. I'm going to give you something. So he laid him down in the same dirt. He did surgery, took out a rib, and he piled up dirt around that rib and made a woman. And he didn't know what to call her. So he told Adam, he said, look what I made you. And he said, what you going to call her? He said, whoa, man. That's in the new Ron Roddy translation. I just don't understand. I don't either. I don't even understand why he could love somebody like me. I don't understand why he'd send his son down here and put him in flesh and let him live the life I can't live and die the death I ought to die and raise him up from the grave that I don't deserve resurrection and that he'll take me to heaven if I'll just believe on that and ask him to save me. I don't understand that, but I am sure glad it happens. Proverbs 27:1, if you'll turn there, I'll quit. Remember I said that the first time. I got two more times to say that. Proverbs 27, if you will, look at verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here's your excuse. Preacher, you're right. You're right. The Bible's true. Jesus is the Lord. He did die for my sins. He did raise from the dead that third day. He will take you to heaven if you ask him. And preacher, I'm going to do that one day. That's a dangerous lie right there. I'm going to do that one day. You know not what a day may bring forth. Today you're looking, you're feeling pretty good. You was able to get up and go to church. You don't know what's going to happen to you tonight. You don't know what's going to happen to you out here. I mean, there's only a 6-inch yellow line between you and the death of the car coming toward you. You don't know what's going to happen. You're one doctor's appointment away from the death sentence. The Bible says you're one breath from death. You're one step from death. You're one heartbeat from death. God has that in his hand, in his plan, and you can't say, next week I'll get saved. That's a foolish thing to do. You better do it. That's not a good excuse. And then some people say, well, you know, I'll take care of that. I'll be okay. You know, the Bible's got all kind of examples. We call it procrastinators. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, I want to follow you, Master. He said, all right, then keep the commandments. He named the commandments. He said, I've done all those from my youth up. He said, okay, you lack one thing. He said, what is it, Lord? I'll do it. He said, take all you have and give it away. And then come follow me. Yeah. And it says he went away sad because he had much stuff. There was a rich man one day. He walked by that poor old man laying in his gate every day. Walked by him every day. Saw the poor man. He had no mercy on him. He thought he had everything he needed. He thought he was going to live a good long life. And guess what? That night he died. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There was a man named King Felix, and King Felix came to Paul. Paul was in prison. He came to Paul. He said, Paul, I heard a lot about you. Tell me this gospel story. So Paul told him the story, and the Bible says Felix trembled. He said, Paul, I understand it, but I'm going to have you come back at a more convenient season. Well, preacher, I would get saved, but you know, I got this going on in my life and I can't quit this. I got to do this, preacher. Watch out. Yeah. And then lastly, the King Agrippa, he told Philip, he said, you bring Paul out here. I've heard a lot about him. I've heard he's a great preacher, has power, does miracles. I want to see some. So he brought him out there, and the Apostle Paul preached to him, and he said, I wish you was just like me and didn't have these chains on like I got, but that you was going to heaven. And he preached his message to him, and King Agrippa said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian. Almost ain't enough. Tomorrow ain't soon enough. And then last, Revelation 22:17. I know I'm a long-winded preacher. Revelation 22:17, but half of you are going to lay out for a football game anyway. I need to preach to you while I got you. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, spiritually athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. You say, Pastor, I would do it, but I'm just too bad.
Yep.
I'm just too bad, preacher. God wouldn't have me.
Yep.
I used to think like that.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, I would ask Jesus to save me. I would give it to him. But I'm afraid he doesn't want what I got. You don't know how bad I am. Well, you don't know how bad we were. You say, Pastor, I would get right with God. I'm a Christian, but you don't know how far I've fallen. You don't know how bad I am. But I do know this. And I don't, by the way, I don't want to know how bad you are. I don't care if you drink a gallon of liquor a day. That's between you and God. Don't come tell me that. Just come tell me whether or not you're right with God.
Come on now.
And if you're thirsty, I guarantee that stuff's not going to quench your thirst. You need to come get some water of life.
Amen.
If you say, well, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I've wandered so far away. I'm just too bad. God's not going to have me back. You are sadly mistaken. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy rest, labor and heavy burden, I'll give you rest. Now, listen to this. As a matter of fact, if you can say, I'm too bad, you're already one step closer than most people. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. If you can say, I'm so bad, God wouldn't have me, you're already one step there.
Amen.
There's one step. Number one, you admit you're a sinner. You already took that step. Number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll forgive that sin, wash it away, throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And he'll save you if you'll just, number three, call on him, Lord. I know I'm not worthy. I ought to go to hell. If anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. But I don't want to go to hell, Lord. And I believe Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. And I don't understand it all, but the best way I know how, Lord, I'm calling on you to save me. And you know what he'll do? Hey, you'll have a transformation. You'll have a new birth. Amen? In 1 John 1:9, talking to Christians, said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The Gadarene maniac was too bad. The harlot there with the children of Israel on the wall, she was too bad. The Pharisee was too bad. The publican was too bad. The adulterer and the adulteress was too bad. But thank God they were to whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now some of you sitting there and you say, why am I hearing this? Well, what you ought to do if you know you're right with God and throwing away the excuses, you ought to pray for those that haven't been able to do that yet.
Right. Amen.
Excuses.
Yeah.
There won't be one in heaven.
Yeah.
And by the way, even lost people's going to go to heaven for a minute. In the great white throne judgment, God's going to empty hell, and they're going. He's going to roll back the heavens. He's going to melt the earth, and we're going to be standing out there in the middle of nothing. And there are going to be two crowds there that day. Those who recognized themselves as sinner and needed a Savior and called on Him, they're going to be behind that great white throne, not to be judged. the ones that found excuses are going to be in front of the judge. And this is not a time for mercy. There's not going to be any mercy then.
Right.
I read this story one time, fell in Chicago, fell in the icy lake there, that great lake, and I've been there, I've seen that, and that's a terrible thing. I don't know how anybody lives there. But a fellow fell through the ice, and this other man who was out there on the ice fishing saved his life. And boy, he just loved this man for saving his life. You know, he just praised him and all that. And said, but the man that was saved from the icy grave was also a terrible sinner, and he got in trouble. A couple years later, he got in trouble, and he had to go to jail, and then he had to appear in court. And when he appeared in court, he stood before the man who was the judge that day that saved his life. And he thought, man, I got it made now. This guy loves me. He saved my life. And then he, when it came to sentencing, he got a hard sentence. A lot of jail time. And he looked at the judge. He said, Judge, how can you do this? You saved my life. He said, that day, son, I was your savior. Today, son, I'm your judge.
That's right.
Today, he'll be your savior. Then, he'll be your judge. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant.